Okay, it looks like we are at the Reskilling, Reusing, and Life Hack Adventure for December 26, 2017. So we are at the Portland Public Library Rec Hall, and all those who wanted to attend in live are here. If they want to be, they may come late as well. And also, this is going to be posted as a podcast with some slides as well. So every time a person comes, they can certainly interact as they wish based upon the passion that they want to share with others. And we're also, like I said, recording it, and we're recording it by three different methods. Most of the time I've been recording it by two different methods, and sometimes one or the other goofs up. And so I'm always left with at least one, which can be posted up to our website, which is metageny.com/reskill, and then go into the blog for the certain month that you want to hear and see the presentation or event. So the one recording is with the Android, just turning it on to grabbing audio, and I'm doing that. Now, I do have a different Android, and it only grabs for about 15 or 30 minutes. So the different platforms that Android's based upon have different lengths of recording. You probably can just upload your own app, too, to ensure that you have as long as you want, if you, too, want to record something at any length, which I encourage everybody to do that since memory is cheap. And the internet, if you want to post it to friends or others, internet needs good ideas, and that includes anything that you might generate. The other two sources of audio come from the software called Audacity, and that plugs into my computer through by means of an adapter that has a USB input, and then it goes to just a regular 1/8-inch jack that everybody uses for their headphones. And I found a 2-in-1 splitter, so the one jack going into the computer for the microphone is now split out to two microphones. And so now we might be getting, I guess it won't be stereo because it's not two different tracks, but there will be two microphones taking the information in, synthesizing it all together. And I did a test on it, and it seemed to be okay. So if the 2-for-1 doesn't work for some reason, then there's always the Android backup. So at the end of the day, what we have is an audio file, which can then be transmitted into, converted into an MP3 file. And the MP3 music files or sound files typically are kind of quiet, so during the conversion process I amplify as much as I can the sound so that it doesn't sound like it's so quiet, and you have to turn up your volume at the max. Rather, I'm just inputting it at a larger volume so that you don't have to crank up the speakers for anyone who listens. Now, I'm always thinking that there's going to be interesting people that are listening to this, and I also wanted to say, and I've said it in previous months, is that if the only interaction that happens with the sound files here is that a artificial intelligence, like a bot, grabs it and then converts it into text and then reads it and likes the information that's there, and they can take the credit for themselves if they want to, but I would rather, of course, like to have anything that I say as ideas to be credited to me, but it ultimately would be credited to the event of the Reskilling, Reusing idea that we have, which is promulgated by myself under the auspices to some degree of the Portland Now Neighborhood Group, as well as the committee therein, which is education, health and education. So without further ado, I want to dive in by starting out with a song, and I'll talk a little bit about singing a little bit later in the presentation, but right now would be a good time to start things off. I've got, let's see, my fingers for picking, And I have a song that I'm going to play right now from a book, and I'm going to read it right here. What the world? Let's see now. I'm going to have to figure this out. What the world? It's the only thing. What the world? Now, sweet love, is the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, no, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and more or less, plus or minus, this and that. That's my perspective on it anyway. Of course, we're losing mountains these days. I guess we just lost bear's ears not too long ago. And so I guess we don't necessarily have all the mountains we need too. I mean, we can invade Mars and all that, but that's kind of a pie in the sky. Love still stands as a good one. Okay, so sliding into the presentation, the reskilling class event basically is the rationale for wanting to topically talk about reskilling, reusing, and life hacking. The reason one would reskill is because basically it can lower your costs, contribute to society, and gives you something to think about and do, and it is very physical, hands-on versus psychosocial in a lot of ways, not always. And then the reusing aspect is to lower costs, contributes to the environmental healing. Again, something you can think really hard about. And again, it's something physical and chemical that you do rather than just psychosocial aspects. Then the life hack feature has to do with reducing stress, giving yourself a sense of pride and accomplishment, and overcoming any dependence that you have. And so you hack your way through and feel good about it. So that's always the goal. And of course, there's lots of features underneath all those rationale, but that's why we're kind of doing that. And we'll touch on it as we go along, of course. Themes that I love to talk about, again, are the motivation for why one would want to do what we're doing here. And also the engineering geeky design aspects and science-based parts. How also it is artistic, and we can have an expression of ourselves. And also how to invigorate ourselves and have a sense of fulfillment. And another aspect would be just how to generate good sources of food and get better at transportation and heating ourselves, protecting ourselves, or keeping ourselves cool in the summertime. Also having a sense of well-being and having a happy nest, and having some hygiene awareness of some aspects of how that can be done. Also, in our interpersonal relationships and our connections with others. And then a couple of new ones I added here are how to resist bullying. So if you have a bully, how do you resist? And I think that everyone needs to be kind of on top of that these days because of we've got a bully at the top pretty much. And also sharing solutions to shared real problems So sometimes we can have solutions to not real problems, or sometimes we can have problems, but they're not really shared with others. So it's important. Now, if you notice the slides that are it's called themes. It has a picture on the upper right-hand corner, which is Norwegian rose mulling, and it is curlicued, and it gets large circles and small circles, and it reminds me of what a fractal Mandelbrot set is. It's a mathematical fractal representation. It indicates that the equation is the same, but it's always infinitely different and infinitely variable, and no matter how big or how small you get it, the design and the outplay essentially stays the same, and it kind of looks like rose mulling. The point being is that fractal ideology is that no matter how big or how small the issues or what you're working on or what your mind's focusing on, issues are pretty much still the same. So if you are feeling working in too small or too big of an idea land, don't, because this is the way it works. And the interesting thing about the Mandelbrot set is one tiny perturbation can lead into a whole new vast arena in the realm of that mathematical space. So the beauty is that if you're going along swimming in a tide, there's no one in a herd of everybody doing the same thing, or if you're feeling you're completely alone, it doesn't matter, because one tweak of a change and you can be in another infinite, wonderful variety of a universe. And so that's what fractal Mandelbrot images. And so that's going to take us a long way if we move forward in saying, where are we? Oh yeah, we're doing the Mandelbrot, which means we don't need to know where we are because we're solid no matter where we go. So the first thing that I felt like I wanted to share is to remind people how important it is to believe that they can accomplish something through the idea of a project fulfillment. And the methodology that's now international is called project management, and there's a whole regimen for it, but there essentially is just one theme, and the theme can be reiterated time and time again on any project. And it kind of goes like this. There's probably 9 things, and the more you hear it, the better. And the first time you hear it, you won't remember it. That's fine. But the project management goes like this. First, consider your project as it integrates with lots of other projects that are going on. Second thing is to figure out what the scope of that project is. The third thing is to figure out the timing of that project. The fourth would be, how much is this project going to cost? The next one is, how high of a quality do we really want this project to do? And the next would be human resources, like who's gonna do it? Who can we get? And the third to the last one is communication, as in how do we communicate with pretty much anybody, how frequently, et cetera, et cetera. Second to the last one is risk. Like how much, what is the risk of what we're all doing here, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last one would be procurement. Like, how do you actually get stuff in order for the project to move forward? Now, all those things are super critical, and whether or not anyone even thinks about them in that way when they do projects doesn't matter, because those things are pretty much built into it. So that would be one aspect of reskilling, would be to be knowledgeable with respect to project management. So if you've heard it 10 times, 100 times already, it's okay, because being reminded is awesome of this very strong regimen. Next thing I wanted to talk about in the next slide here has to do with an idea about health care, like who cares, okay, health care. And there's two different focuses about it. It really needs, in my viewpoint, a two-pronged approach is awesome. One would be direct and one would be indirect. The direct focus is that if you want health, you solve all your health issues online or word of mouth, and you just keep your costs low. Now, I could go on quite a while with that, but I think there's some strong knowledge that people get it, like, oh, I know how to kind of fix myself. Except for, obviously, broken bones that are sticking out of your skin, all that kind of stuff. That is a huge necessity for emergency and healthcare with all the bells and whistles. The other approach is the indirect focus, which would be we can solve our health care problems by making all of our health care free and let the doctors kind of worry about how they're going to give their patients a magic pill in order to make them feel better, et cetera. So if everything is free, then responsibility kind of isn't there, but the heavy burden of needing to figure stuff out for yourself isn't there either. But what that needs, of course, is an organization, an impetus for changing the way things are, because currently health is not free. And so the question is, do we keep costs down or do we give everybody health care? And if that's the case, how do we keep costs down and keep people's interest in kind of healing themselves at a high level? And if we don't know the answer, that's perfectly fine, because it's a nice topic to bring up. And I guess that would be a life hack. Just like, how do we do that? The first thing, of course, we can do is just figure out how to help ourselves get more healthy, of course. So I could go into a Jackson Browne song, which is Doctor My Eyes, but I won't do that because I just don't feel like it. But it is an interesting song because it talks about seeing the world as a problem, and then thinking that it's his own eyes that are the problem, but he's just seen too much, and there's something to be said for that. In the picture that's depicted on the screen, there's a picture of some dumbbells, and I've been using them recently, and I wanted to share with you the excitement that I have, which is these dumbbells. If you've got, I don't know, a back, a neck, a hip, a leg that's really kind of tight, you just take the dumbbells and you lay on top of them. And it is enormously beneficial to loosen up all the muscle fascia, to loosen up the muscles when you try to drive your fist into those huge muscles and you get nowhere because those muscles are so huge because you've been working out, right? But if you lay all your weight on top of some these dumbbells or a brick or a piece of wood or anything at all, just so you can lay on it without hurting yourself, and put some time there. And of course it's going to hurt, but it's a good kind of hurt, and one also always has to be aware of the different kinds of pain. One is a good kind of pain where you're loosening up muscles. The other is a sharp pain or nerve pain, or you're hitting the nervous system. And so again, you get the books at the library about that stuff, or you just figure it out for yourself through mindful massage and laying on these dumbbells for some time. You get to know all that kind of stuff. So that's the first thing that popped into my head. And of course, that's open for discussion, and we can certainly discuss that, and we can take months and years to discuss that. But what happens is that free association happens, and the next slide goes on to something entirely different, which has to do with life hacks, reskilling, and reusing. And that has to do with, it's called rubber match. which is a reference to a baseball or competition. But it's basically reusing rubber when you can. For instance, if you want to patch a hole in an inner tube instead of just throwing away the inner tube and buying a new bicycle inner tube for $6, that's one thing to consider. And one thing I recently found out is that if you just patch, it doesn't work. You have to put rubber cement on there. So you can buy, you know, rubber cement for real cheap, but I guess it needs to be on there, in the area around where the patch is going to be, where the hole is. Of course, you can find the hole by just pumping it up and then sticking the whole thing underwater, or just listening for the hiss and all that kind of stuff. And once you scratch the area with kind of a sandpapery stuff, then you can lay down some of the rubber cement, which I guess, I don't know how toxic it is, so I mean, you may want not get a lot of it on your skin. And then let it dry in around that area. And then put the patch on and then squeeze it really hard, putting either a nickel or a penny on it, and really forcing it down tight into the tire or the rubber. And therefore, you have the opportunity to, once this is a skill that is developed, you don't really have to buy inner tubes again, unless the hole is enormous, which can happen, but it does save needing to buy new ones and reusing old inner tubes, because rubber is pretty strong. It'll last a long time if it's not baked in the sun, etc. Another aspect of rubber tires I learned this last month is that if you want to find out where a hole is in a tire for a car, is as you take the tire off, and then you can, you know, put kind of soapy water, not too much soap on it, but soapy water, and you kind of spray it on as you can, put it on, and then the bubbles nicely where there is a hole. And then there are cheap places, cheap units for plugging up the holes, and the YouTube is widely available to just go ahead, use the thing, pop it in there. You got to be kind of strong, so again, you got to do your push-ups often during the week, so you can be ready for putting down some weight onto the and putting a plug into the tire. In order to find out where the holes are, and I learned the hard way here, is an important way is to have it pumped up to a really high pressure, and then the holes will illuminate themselves. Not so much if it's a lower pressure, they don't show themselves all that well. In addition, when one does have a plug in there, and apparently if you talk to lawyers and insurance people, they'll say you should never plug a hole ever in the tire. You should always get a brand new tire. And I appreciate their perspective, and insurance and lawyers will always have such perspective. And you need to have perspective about their perspective. So, you know, you have to think with sober judgment about this stuff, and we can have a longer conversation about just that at a future time if we want to. But just that to be said, that if you do go ahead and put have a plug in the tire, just keep the pressure really high, up to 40 psi, I'm told, in order to make sure that the seal is excellent. So sounds good to me if the experts are telling me that. So there's some things about rubber that means reskilling, reusing, and life hacking. And there you go. Ready, set, think more. Let's interact. Next topic has to do with the amazing Amazon. Okay, so we have got this Amazon, which is like if you go to Amazon, pay $100 a year, you can get Amazon Prime Video on demand. And if you happen to have some interest in learning about how to, like, life hack, reskill, you can go watch Willard the Hermit of Gully Lake. Now, that's a dumb thing. I mean, he's not a very bright Yeah, but there are some things like, oh, do you really need to have, no, you don't. He just spent basically his whole life playing guitar in the woods. And people would bring him strawberry pie every once in a while because they thought he was cute. And of course this happened up in Canada where they let odd things happen. I don't know if that would happen in the Finger Lakes of New York. But anyway, you could certainly learn about such a man named Willard, who did live, and they had a so there's videos of people who are life hacking, and you can use Amazon Prime as well as YouTube. Another thing for Amazon Prime Video is that you can listen to half-hour excerpts of a do-it-yourself nerd called Ron Hazelton. His show is called House Calls, which is fine if you want to just get ideas of kind of, this is clever, this is easy, this is cheap, this is doable, and he introduces you in a way that doesn't make you feel anything other than kind of excited to learn what he's doing. You can also do some life hacks and knowledge increase by going to the library and getting a DVD. I've learned that you can go, they've got a This Old House, and they've got another one about like ceiling leaks in sinks or something. And it's, so I'm not really impressed with what the library has for DVDs. I'm more impressed with what's out there with Amazon. And YouTube is a hit or miss. You can get high quality and you can get really podunk advice and low quality, shaky images, and et cetera. So again, that is a huge discussion point in terms of where do you learn information and do you invest in Amazon or not? But I guess the world of personality do-it-yourselfers is out there because you know, people like to talk in front of videos and say how awesome they have, and here you can do it too, which I completely agree with. So what do you think? Next idea that comes to mind, that comes on the slide presentation here, is called food for thought. And it has basically to do with the idea that it is now, let's say, the shortest daylight day of the year. And from now on, it's going to be getting longer. And as it warms up, of course, the earth is going to be wanting to sprout. And that's when those people who want to do gardening can also be thinking about how they're going to do their garden in the spring. The usual way, of course, would be to sprout indoors in a sunroom and or some space like that. And I happen to have one. I'm looking forward to doing just that. The picture that's on the screen there has a tray of sprouting plants to invigorate one's imagination about what can happen in a sunroom. What happened in our sunroom here is that there was a door that a gateway that goes upstairs, and so all the hot air from the sunroom would go right upstairs and cold air coming down. And what happened then would be, for that part of the house being so cold, the cold air would come down and make the sunroom cold. So basically, when we put a door up there, that's basically going to stop that from happening. And then the warmth that the sun provides will stay in that. And I've been looking at a thermometer, which you can get at Walmart for $2, can really help you notice if in fact there is an increase, if you're seeking to create a warm space in the dead of winter. And that's cool. So you want to make sure your rack that you have for your sprouting is going to be in the sunny part of the room. Another part I think to think about is that you can, if you use like a normal vessel, you could, or a bucket or something, you can pour too much water on it and hurt the the poor thing. So the idea would be to take a plastic cap for a container and then just drill holes in it and then use that as a sprinkler to sprinkle nicely your tray of very dainty plants. They're dainty at the beginning, of course. And another feature that I wanted to talk about too is that if you ever wanted to take a perennial or a bush or any or a tree or anything like that and put it in water and add rooting hormone to it, you can grab your own plants as you wish. So I may have mentioned this before, but I do did recently find it, and you know, in my list of in my areas of where I sequester stuff. And I'm looking forward to using that to good measure. There's all kinds of different ones out there. The image says fast root, take root, and root boost. So they're all over. It's pretty much generic. And it is basically a handout from Mother Nature that humans have devised to grow any plant that you want. And it's pretty much looking pretty good as far as I can see. So these are areas for food for thought, because food is an important aspect of reskilling, reusing, and life hacking, I believe. What do you think? So the next topic I wanted to bring up is entitled Radioactive for You. And when I first introduced the evening, the presentation, I did talk about how to counteract bullying and how to resist bullying. So this is one way to do it, which is to get radioactive, and that is to get on the radio, for instance, and counteract some of the lousy radio that you see. There's one story that got me on this line this month, and that is a place called WEQY. It's a local radio station in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they hiked all the way to Washington, D.C. to be a part of a protest just recently. I think there was some protest about, they're always doing that. But it was kind of cool how these local radio really got empowered, and they wanted to send a message that they're not just local, but they're global in their mindset, and that's kind of really neat. What's happening with low power FM radio stations similar to WEQY, but in Louisville, is of course WXOX, which is Artex FM, which is a great opportunity for local musicians to portray their music. Another one is WFMP, and I did go to their fundraiser event a couple of months ago. And I have a bumper sticker, which I need to put on my car, 106.5 FM Forward Radio. And the bumper sticker, interestingly enough, says, get radioactive. So there's that. So I think it's 20. The information for WFMP is listed on the presentation here. And it says that it's 20 watts. I cannot believe. I can't believe how small that is. 20 watts is nothing for a radio station, but it's right in the heart of downtown. And I've been like maybe a couple miles away and still able to pick it up because it's on top of one of the buildings. Let's see if it says which building. But it's probably like on the 12th floor of up the top, over by the library. And so even 20 watts, which is not going to cost them an arm and a leg of electricity as far as I'm concerned. Keep on getting the good word out, which is they have a lot of ideas for how to resist and how to maybe protest and to avoid bullying, etc. So that's where that comes from. Another way to get radioactive is, of course, to investigate what it is to have a ham radio. And I think there are some local Portlanders who know a lot about ham radio's operations, and maybe I'll get them to present at a reskilling workshop. Maybe I'll come to their house and interview them and pop it up on the blog. I don't know, but the idea then would be the ham radio people, they have really big antennas in their homes. So maybe one way to get a lot of these low-powered local FM radio stations picked up, you know, even out here in Portland, would be to get a big antenna. And what does that mean? Can you do them out of hangars, or do you have to, you know, make them and spend lots of money to make it kosher, et cetera? Recently, my car had an accident with its antenna, and I took some time to go get a hanger, and I put an antenna back in, but you know, it's just a hanger, and you know, it's not pretty, but maybe it's going to pick up some of these local low power radio FM stations, because I'm not really interested in listening to the ones that are broadcasting really powerfully, because they, after 3 seconds every 10 years, I've had enough of them. That's just my perspective. Now, other ways to get radioactive, of course, is if you want to just go only to the internet. You've got lots of podcasting that's happening. I think Preet Bharara was at the FBI. He was a prosecutor for New York, and he was prosecuting illegal activity in New York City. Hint, hint. And he got fired. And so he's got a really popular podcast, and that's working really well for him. And people can get knowledgeable about the inner workings of how things work in the prosecutorial world by talking to Preet, who's now unemployed except for being a podcaster. So there's something to being a podcaster, just doing a little plug there. Now, I think Al Franken is gone, but he is a fantastic voice on the radio, which is probably what spurred him to become a senator, is that he was outspoken on the radio. And so I hope he gets back into speaking his mind freely, often, and with ferociousness. Yeah, well, that's Al Franken. You know, he's a question mark. That's why I put a question mark after his name. Good old Al Frankenstein, right? There you go. And I just wanted to do a shameless plug for the Reskilling podcast that's happening here in Louisville, in Portland. It's well over a year. I haven't really celebrated, nor taken the time to look to see how far back. But I would say that this is the longest podcast event in Portland history. That was shameless, like I said. So the idea then would be, how do you go ahead and become radioactive? And I think it's appropriate to say that people really like music, you know, thus you've got the Art FM, but also they like speech too, which is the WFMP. So there's kind of a nice mix between music and speech, but it can all kind of be local and empowering. And I think that's kind of the visioning that reuse, reskilling, and life hacking is espousing. I know that there's a lot of talent out here in Portland and the neighborhood at large, because there was a talent night at the Portland Rec like maybe a week ago, and there's lots of skilled people who were very willing to share their skills. And so if that happens, not only just on one talent night in front of nobody who's recording, but get it up there for all to share and hear, then that's something to be said too. What do you think? I wanted to do a little portrait on city news, and I didn't have time to look up whether the city is doing anything. Now, it's deep December, so maybe the city's not even doing anything about being resilient. I think I've very recently heard at a Christmas party that there is some politicians who are talking about the homeless. So there might be some action about, you know, having the police remove them, but yet having places for them to stay, giving them time to get out. I think there's the feeling that Louisville wants to be compassionate. However, if one scales up the homeless encampment a freeway billboard and goes up to that billboard And if anyone were to paint the whole thing white and then put in big letters, "Where are the sanctuary churches if this is a compassionate city?" Well, that really did happen. And if you go on the freeway in Portland, you can see that somebody, I didn't take a picture of it, so I can't prove it ever existed, but I saw it. And I don't know if they've taken it down yet, but you know, I guess you can be compassionate, and you can also say, you know, why don't you have sanctuary churches? I don't know. It's just, I guess maybe billboards are free speech for like 24 hours until they come and erase what some hacker put up on the billboard. Isn't that interesting? What do you think?
Was it hanging there for one day?
I don't know.
It still might be there,
yeah. So I also like to take an opportunity to do reskilling, reusing, and life hacking with the Venture via camera. I think one can write words and have lists, but if one takes pictures, one can also communicate for those who are visually minded as well. So the first set of images that I have here portray a couple of things. One is essentially a job for mudding a brick wall that needs to be mudded. And so if you got brick wall that kind of has some bricks that are splayed, you go ahead and you properly treat it and get the surface ready. And then you go to the store, mix in some drywall mud, you can buy it dry or wet. I think dry is a lot cheaper, and it doesn't dry out too, because you make just a little bit as you need it, and mix it up, slap it on the wall, as you can see, there's another picture indicating that we're well on the way there. You just slap it up, put it on, and then after a couple of coats, you're at the level of the rest of the plaster, which is not water damaged. And then you can basically take back any wall that that needs that facade put on. So that's how that is. And don't think that it's insurmountable to do such a task. And what do you think? Another picture has to do with my back porch, my back steps. It was, when I purchased it, unpainted, and as far as I'm concerned, treated, unpainted wood can stay that way, but yet, since I got a code violation, I might as well just use the $9 Oops paint that I found, exterior paints that I found at Lowe's or Home Depot, and slap it on. So, as you can see, I went and used 1 gallon with a kind of a plum-colored. And then the next gallon is kind of gray. So I'm not sure if there's any thought behind why there's two different random colors, but it is covered. And even if it was treated wood, the old wood certainly does love to get and soaks up the paint, and obviously won't have any signs for dry rotting if it's got a surface of paint on it. So that's one thing that I could say, is it just takes time. It just takes a $1 paintbrush and a $9 gallon of paint, and you're at it. And it just takes time. And if it's a nice day, you can really enjoy the time. Then, yeah, what do you think? And then the next slide has to do with food. So there was a cooking class earlier this month in which interesting things were made in addition to the salad, which is super easy to make. And obviously a cooking class that's an hour and a half long has an hour and a half worth of interesting stuff going on, so we can't really portray that at this point. All that's to say is that I took for good use was an immersion blender. And look it up on Google if you want, but immersion blender, you can take any sort of vegetable mix and then blend it up really easy without putting it through a blender. Maybe a worthwhile investment for someone to use for a lifetime. The other picture in that is a loaf of bread, and it was the easiest thing possible. And at Kroger the other day, there was 10 pounds of flour for a buck and a half. I think that's what it was. Anyway, it's ridiculously cheap. So what happens is that, you know, you put dry things together in a big bowl. So we've got, first of all, got to find a big bowl, I guess, and mix the dry things together, which is flour, sugar, and baking powder, baking soda, and anything else that you want. I mean, anything else you want. But that's the basic things, the necessities you need. And then you put the wet things together, which is a little bit of vinegar and water, and anything else you want, like that would. Yeah, and then you add, the liquid to the powder as you're kind of working the powder. So you're mixing it around, mix, pouring into the. So it's so cheap that you can just try different things and then make a mistake and it doesn't matter. Because you've got the baking soda in there so that when you put it in the oven, it's going to expand because of the baking soda. And if you just dip it into anything you want, jelly or hummus or soup, you've got your bread there. And, you know, that's great that Kroger's got, you know, a dollar bread, which is a pound of wheat for a buck. But you can also get it make from flour for 10 cents. Per pound. So it's something to think about as a life hack, reskill, and a reuse. I don't think there's a reuse. I guess your bowl that you get would be reused. What do you think? The next topic has nothing to do with food. It has to do with old windshields. So there was an instance where I've been really interested in getting a windshield, but the best way that I could think of to get it would be from an old, from a used, old junkyard. So I've never gone to a junkyard before. And if you haven't, then I would suggest that you go ahead and go. There's a couple of places that are on Google Maps that are down by the Ford plant, a little bit south on, you know, I-65, and it doesn't take long to get there. And once you're in, there's one place that costs $2 to enter. There's another place that's free. So if you go to the free place, obviously, you can find out, you know, what there is there and kind of the lay of the land a little bit. So it kind of depends upon how expert you are, if you want to go to Pull Apart or the other one, I think it begins with an I. And so I guess the challenge is that a windshield requires a lot of thought in ripping it out. You need a little bit of a tool and a little bit of strength. So that hasn't happened quite yet, but I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But I am saying that if there's anything that you need, tires, wheels, you know, doorknobs, doors, hoods, you can just get them at a used place, buy them, and you have them. And if you, again, you do your push-ups a few times a week, you can probably do that yourself and obviously find some sort of a gang of people that if you feel like you need more than just yourself to help out. This would be a great opportunity to do that. Now, I suppose I could probably go get a radiator from there. What happened is that recently I've been upgrading the car, the radiator, and I've been updating the water pump, but it got cold and I think things froze and then I'm worried that maybe the radiator needs to be replaced again, and that would be a huge mistake. Why did I do that? Because because there's still a little bit of leak and I don't want to put antifreeze in there because antifreeze would drip into the ground. But I think I might just put a pan underneath there and just let the radiator fluid that can withstand cold weather drip into the pan and then either reuse it or have to destroy it. But I don't want to get the water pump frozen again and the radiator to be potentially cracked, as well as the engine itself can be cracked if it's got water in there and it breaks the metal if it will. So there's a joy and a challenge to developing a skill for working on cars. If you have an older car, it's much better because then you can, doesn't have to be perfect. If it's a new car, and then you've got lots of loans that you're looking at. And so it's about how much money you want to spend on your car. And I suggest and think that a reskilling, reusing, life hacking perspective would be to probably get an older, more of a beater car. At least if you're going to have two cars, you know, have one be a beater, and then the other one you could do for if you really need to impress somebody. What do you think? The next slide I have, which I'm rolling right along in pictures, has to do with the idea of securing your property. So this is my backyard, picture on the right, where it was awfully weedy, and I went ahead and easily took the weeds off because it's, you know, deep winter, and it doesn't need to be any grass there. It can be just dirt, in fact, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm starting to put my garbage can out back on the other side of the fence, which, again, invites someone to potentially steal the garbage can. So what I did is I put a padlock and chain so that is not going to be stolen by anyone during the week. And then I have to just remember, if it's full of garbage, I need to unlock it so that the garbage truck can load it and use it and do its thing. But if you want to secure your property, and one way would be to secure it with a chain with your garbage can. And also, I've been starting in the front yard to also put a padlock on the front fence, the front gate, because I don't necessarily get all that much mail, and I can, if I need to, I can put the mailbox right by the fence, and I have no reason for anyone really to go into the property. Now, if this was Mayberry RFD or whatever, and if everybody was happy, maybe we could leave everything open. But I'm not sure that that's the environment that we're in right now, especially when everybody says the word opium these days. It's just people aren't really themselves, and so you have to kind of look at it from a perspective of what can actually possibly be done versus what makes sense or what a logical thinking person would or wouldn't do. You can't do that. So that's what I've chosen to do. Also, no one really can get on your property. And that has positive features too, is that you don't necessarily need to allow an opening for people to have access. What do you think?
It's a life skill important, necessary.
Mm-hmm. Life skill, life hack, yep. And this next picture is of my backyard, and it is a portrait of what can be done, soup to nuts. So it's a nice picture. From going from left to right, I show here that there is a potted plant, a pot for a potted plant. So it's ready for spring, and I'll put a wonderful plant in there. It wasn't used last year because I think I just acquired the object not too long ago from somebody who was downsizing and didn't have a need for it. And now I'm starting to incorporate it into my backyard as a planned backyard. Right next to that pot is a plant called, I don't think I'm going to be able to come up with the plant, passion fruit, I think that's what it is. And I think a lot of people call it a weed, but it actually is the edible passion fruit, and it's quite tasty if you get it at the right time. So I'm nurturing that, and that is a nice aspect of my backyard. Another part of my backyard is some dumpster dive wood, like 6x6s and 2x12, and I kind of put them together with screws, And we'll see how long that lasts. So far, so good, but it's a nice bench. And I can lean against my back against the fence and sit in the bench and enjoy the sunshine. As you can see, that there is some sun coming in to that backyard. Another thing right next to that is another potted plant, which again would be a great spot for plants to grow. Next to that is a garbage can, which again is a great opportunity for filling it up during the week, and then all at once I can go to the other side of the fence where my locked trash can is, and so it kind of gets to be a staged operation of how to do the garbage, which is fine. And right next to that is a plant, and it's more passion fruit. It used to be a nice raspberry, but something in the soil made the raspberry die. And so I'm really kind of curious about that, the soil in that area. But the passion fruit grows, as well as some trees. But I better be careful about that corner. But maybe I could think thoughtfully about what are some plants that actually heal the soil. And I can come up with some ideas in my head as I think here. And even next to that, then, is a dumpster-dived pool ladder, and I can use that to climb up and get over my fence easily and jump it and do things in the alley as I wish, because I don't really have a good doorway yet for my fence. I certainly can put one in, and you know, I've got a next door neighbor that has a nice big sliding gate, and I might do that, but for now I just kind of get in and out by means of such a ladder as that. And I think right next to that is a bunch of wood waiting to put in a actual door. And I might do that in my backyard. So that is kind of a wonderment of reusing, rescaling, and life hacking for a backyard. What do you think? The next slide has to do with what people can purchase on a whim at Bargain Supply. For instance, if you really want to fix your shoes instead of buying new ones, there's Shoe Goo, and right there you can see it. If you look close, you can see the price. It's not very expensive, so go to Bargain Supply. There's also the stuff called Goop. And it is high temperature, and it's automotive, so it can handle really high temperature. And so if there's any need that you have for adhesives in that regard, it's there. And I've used some of that to good use. Next to that, well, in that same row is a twist ties, which I've needed for, you know, tying together lots of different things. So they sell them by the bucket load there, and pretty cheap, so use twist ties at your leisure. Another one towards the left bottom is liquid tape. So I guess, and instead of just using electrical tape, you can just use this stuff. You just dab it on for any electrical tape uses. So it was there, and I thought I'd purchase it just to see what happens. Next thing next to that is graphite lubricant. So this has nothing to do with, it's not an oil. It's very slippery graphite, which is what pencil leads are. And if you ever get pencil lead dust on your fingers, you know how slippery that is. So I look forward to putting that on in a space, on a hook, on a wall, and I know exactly where it is, because you never know when you're going to need some graphite.
You can put it in locks, too.
Yeah, okay.
Before the winter comes, you put them in the locks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It works great.
So there's one thing to have it, and another thing to know what to do with it when you have it. So this is why we have this kind of an interaction.
Any outside locks, padlocks.
Any outside locks, or use a graphite, because it kind of is water. It doesn't get washed away by water,
and
I guess.
It loosens up without making it greasy and nasty.
Yeah, because oil can definitely make it greasy and nasty.
The oil drips out. graphite stays in there for a while.
Yeah, it's just cheap, and so it's available. And then the next thing that I purchased was a nice big magnetic flashlight from Bargain Supply, so it's LEDs is what I'm trying to say. And LEDs, they don't take a lot of electricity, and they're really bright. And if you got one that's really solid and a strong magnet on the back, you know, it can be used pretty much anywhere that you really need to get light instantly. You just keep it in your pocket and pop it out whenever you need it. And it was a really good price, and I looked forward to it. And by the way, look forward to the new world of LEDs. It's just the way it is. It's just happening. Then the last thing I want to talk about, besides the really cheap batteries that are there, are the athletic air pump filler tips for filling up footballs and soccer balls and basketballs. And again, you can get 10 of them for a buck at Bargain Supply. So, you know, I only need one, but I guess I got 10 of them. Don't get them at Walmart, because you can pay $5 for them there. What do you think? Next slide I have here, and I know I'm running out of time because things are really flying here, is that anyone who's into fiber arts can enjoy making interesting things. For instance, there's a picture of mittens that don't have fingerless mittens, and the way one does that is to get a round loom, and then you just kind of that makes it a circle, and you just go around and around, and you all of a sudden you just make it's you got to be into fiber arts, and it's available, and it's a tiny little loom, and you can get a lot of thread and yarn. You can make those fingerless gloves that have a hole for the thumb. And I think last month I did talk about the virtues of how useful they are to have, just take the tips off of gloves, and you can have your fingers to work on your Android, or you can work on highly detailed stuff, but the rest of your hand stays warm because it does get cold. And it's just like that. It's just like that. Fiber arts. What do you think? This is a picture I took when I was walking into Kroger, and it is a way to think about what Kroger space can be used for. It is on Broadway and maybe 38th or something, 31st, 38th, wherever the Kroger is, and it's a mural, and it looks like it's not painted on the wall. It looks like it's just a very large canvas, and it has a great neighborhood feel to it, with kids, activities, pushing limits, doing great homey things. Right there in the midst the signs that say how much the eggs cost and whatever else. So let's rethink how we want to interact with leadership of Kroger and send messages to our neighborhood, because, you know, they certainly did it down there on Broadway. We can do that here in Portland, too. What do you think? Well, that's all the pictures that I have, and I now wanted to share a little bit of a set of goals that I get from interacting with a wellness coach. And it's just a way to highlight the importance of setting goals that you're interested in setting, and having someone to sit down with once a month saying, how did you do on your goals? And I really appreciate that. So and that sounds good in theory, and the beauty of writing down those individual goals for all to see is to see how specific they are, and to see that they are, they're actual require actual work, doing a lot of detail. So I hope as you read them, you enjoy them. What do you think? I think the second to the last slide that I want to present or show has to do with the presentation of the anchor article for December, or I think January issue. And I could read it, but I'm not gonna. You just have to go to the website, and I'll give you the website in a second. But I do want to set the record straight that there are two anchor articles that are written by Portland Nate in that show up in the January edition. It's due to the fact that there was an email kind of a mix-up that there was an, I used an older email and forwarded it to the same person who, for the anchor. And, I don't think they understood that it, I was just forwarding using the same email. And I was using Gmail, and sometimes I forget how to not drag all the prior ones. So the prior one from like a year and a half ago did also get sent along in the email, and then that was interpreted as, yes, go ahead and print that too. So I got two articles just because of an email oddity. What do you think? But anyway, I think the article has something to be said about how your sense of smell can give you hope for an empowerment moving forward. It's kind of neat, even though one uses one logic and says, gosh, things are really looking pretty troubled here and there. So there's some reality and some hope built in there. As I said, I would tell you how to find out more about things that are in the presentation and the and where to find the audio file, and that's at metageny.com/reskill, and metageny is spelled metageny.com. And next month we will also be giving a reskilling, reusing life hack presentation event, and I hope that the entire rec room is filled with about 50 people. But if it's not, then there is the power of the podcast, and as we mentioned before. So next meeting will be the last Tuesday of the month. I guess that's sometime in January. And 6:30 p.m. show up at the library, or online. You can look it up at the blog. I did let my domain lapse. And it did all kinds of horrible things. So whatever you do, don't ever let your domain lapse, because it just weird things happen. So just only to show that the internet sounds so robust, but it's kind of weird in the underbelly, and that's something. I guess that's how we're going to end. So the pleasure is all of ours that we shared this time, and we're going to catapult these ideas into the future. Who knows what that means. So that's it. Okay. Bye-bye.